I'm with Orbit Research. My name is Venkatesh Chari. Orbit Research is a small company. We've been around for over 10 years now. And our niche, I guess, is to develop and manufacture affordable electronic products for people with visual impairments. So our first product was a talking scientific calculator. Some of you might have heard about it. It's the Orion TI-36. And our latest product is the iGo, which is a talking currency identifier. That was introduced in late 2009. We started development over 4 years ago, and some of you might have heard about the lawsuit that the ACB brought upon the U.S. Department of Treasury in 2007, I think it was.
Yeah.
Subsequently, there was a district court ruling asking the Treasury to make paper currency accessible. The iGo actually was conceived and development started before that, so we actually did not know this was happening. It just so happened that it was a coincidence. The device is about the size of a credit card, and it's got two buttons. It's got a slot on one side of it, and you would insert the banknote into the slot, push it up all the way in, and press either one of the two buttons, and that will announce the denomination. Well, I'm doing that right now. So that was a one off. It has a vibration mode, so if one is in either a very noisy setting or you want privacy, you can set it to vibrate, and it emits a pattern of vibrations which correspond to the denomination. There's also a tone mode, so that was actually the third volume setting. The vibration mode you can't hear from the distance. Put it on the desk. Yeah.
That actually makes that accessible to people who are deaf-blind, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And then it also has a tone mode. So if you want privacy, don't want vibration, there's a pattern of low and high pitch tones, which, again, I think not an issue. And then three volume levels. It says error if there's nothing inside it. And there's no on-off button, just two buttons. The reason why there are two buttons is because you can use it in either hand, and if you press them both together, it changes the mode. So it goes from vibration to tone to volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. It's as simple as that. And it'll accept currency bills inserted in any orientation. We have worked very hard to make it very accurate as far as what is known as a misread is concerned. We have yet to experience one. If the bill is in very bad condition, defaced or wrinkled, it will not recognize it, but it won't misidentify it. It'll just simply say error, and then you pull it out, put it in a different orientation, and it will usually identify it. We have yet to come across a bill that can't be identified at all, and if you put it in one of the four orientations, it always does get identified. It's pretty quick, as you've probably heard. Within about a second, it announces. If the bill is not in good condition or somehow it's not been inserted well, fully, it may do a little more number crunching, and in which case I'll try to simulate it and it will work. Yeah, so you heard that second beep?
Yeah.
That means it's doing double duty and going through it.
Does it work with other currencies?
Foreign currencies?
Yeah, like the euro or...
No, not this version. The basis actually for the lawsuit that was brought on by the ACB was that the U.S. currency was one of the very few currencies where all denominations are the same in size. Euros are different in size, but we have actually received requests from people about euros as well as other foreign currencies, and we asked them, hey, aren't the denominations different in size? They say yes, but they're not necessarily markedly so. So people still seem to want to have a definitive.
The other issue about that
is
that if you're traveling
right.
and you're not familiar with those denominations and currencies, that it's helpful. Because I know when I was in Europe, I have a bit of a learning curve because I wasn't familiar with the various denominations. And I didn't want to make a mistake, and it took me a day or so to get familiar.
The current model is designed specifically for U.S. currency. We do have plans to also do some foreign currency. We're trying to evaluate what would the potential market be. The design is flexible enough to allow us to do that. It runs on a single AAA battery with normal use, which we typically count as 10 currency bill identifications in a day. The battery typically lasts about a year.
How much does it cost?
It costs $99. We wanted to offer a special for 500 members today, but we have to sell it for $89 today.
we have people who are not here today who might want to purchase at the special price. Is there a way to extend it for, you know, a week or whatever, or is that not possible?
Yeah, we'll be very happy to do that.
Okay, because what I'd like to do is send out a notice to the mailing list. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be happy to offer the specialty promotional price to any Bible member.
Thank you very much.
If the U.S. updates its currency to offer updates, how would that work?
Yes, the unit is fully upgradable. So, the firmware can be upgraded to accommodate new designs. The current method of upgrade is, and we'll always do this at no charge. So the current method is, send back, within a couple of days, we ship it back to you. Just pay a nominal shipping handling charge.
Is there a warranty?
Yes, there's a one-year warranty. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee if you're not happy with it. Just give it back. We definitely did not anticipate the initial demand. We were backed up all the way from announcement just late 2009 up to almost June 2010. I guess it's fair to say that it appears that we have sold most of the units to folks who are connected, heard about it through the internet mostly.
Okay.
There are lots of reviews on the internet, lots of blog postings. Some folks have heard about it through counselors and rehab agencies. It looks like there's still a very large population of people who would want to use it but are simply not. We're working our way slowly through marketing efforts to get the word out. We feel we can sell a lot more than what we have sold.
Right. How do you know when the battery's going? Is there any kind of indicator or?
Every time after it identifies and speaks or vibrates, it emits a tone, which indicates that the battery's low. It'll keep doing that. So it starts giving you warnings when there's about 10% capacity left. And then when you have 5% capacity left, it gives you a more dire type of tone.
What about in vibration mode? How do you do it with that?
There's a unique vibrating pattern
for
that as well. Yeah. And the vibration mode is actually, people feel that, I'm going to have to learn a lot of vibrations. But we have tried to do it so that it's logical. So $1 is just one short vibrating pulse. For $2, it's two short pulses. $5, it's three. Then for $10, it's one long pulse. 20, it's two long pulses. 50, it's three long pulses. It's relatively easy to remember once you know what it is. The unit comes with a large print quick start guide, one page, and then there's a detailed user's manual, which has all the different do's and don'ts and things like that. There's also a CD that comes with, which has audio instructions. So you just insert it into a standard CD player, starts playing the quick start guide, and then you can also go to the user manual. Also has digital versions of the user guide.
Can you handle rechargeable batteries at 1.2 volts?
It can. We don't recommend it because with rechargeable batteries, discharge characteristics are quite different. The algorithms we have embedded to monitor the status of the battery, they won't function in the same way. So you may get low battery warning too early, too late. So we generally don't recommend that because the other thing with rechargeable batteries is that their shelf life isn't that long. So if you don't use it too much, it's going to discharge in a year anyway, or probably sooner than that. I'll just take one more minute to talk about the scientific calculator. This is a standard calculator that one can buy from the store. It's a TI-36. So it's a scientific and engineering calculator with statistical functions, unit functions, unit conversion, trigonometric functions, decimal hex. It's a very capable, full-featured scientific calculator. It doesn't do graphing, so it's not one of those graphing calculators. So what we have done is we've basically taken a standard unit from TI and we've adapted that. Speech. So everything is spoken, all the functions. It has a unique learning mode. It's got about 50 keys, and each key has about four functions, impossible to remember. So if you're in the middle of a calculation, you certainly want to find a key that you don't know where it is, you can just press a button on the side. It pauses your calculation. You can press each key, and it'll announce that key, but it won't actually take any effect. And so once you find the key, you press the same button again, you continue your calculation. That one does have rechargeable batteries in it because we expect it's going to be used for power several hours in a day by students. And it comes with a universal charger. Battery lasts, I believe, it lasts more than 8 hours of continuous use. So easily can go for several days. Both of these products are available through our website as well. They are in stock now. We are shipping them right away.
How much is the calculator for?
The calculator is $249.
And what's the website?
The website is www.orbitresearch.com. One word, O-R-B-I-T-R-E-S-E-A-R-C-H.
Bitcoin.com.
Our niche and what we feel we can do best is take products which are not necessarily new concepts. You know, for instance, there was a talking scientific algorithm available before we made one. There was a currency identifier available before we made one. But taking something that is either not as functional as people would like it to be, or not as affordable, or as compact, as user-friendly as people would like it to be, and then making it into something like this that is really affordable, feature-rich, and does the job. We've thought, discussed, and analyzed for a long time trying to figured out some multifunction gadgets. Even now we get calls. I was talking to someone yesterday saying, well, it was a great device. You know, why don't you in your next version add a flashlight to it and a voice recorder and an MP3 player? And those, I mean, the suggestions are valid. The reality is that when you try to do that, it makes the device more complex, it makes it more expensive, and it makes it usually harder to use. There was actually a money identifier that was introduced, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago called Voice It All, and it was about the size of a large Walkman, you know, and it actually had multiple functions. So it could actually do voice recording and currency identification and also color identification. Now, unfortunately, it was very, very hard to use, and I guess coupled with the fact that it was quite big, it wasn't really very popular. What we are looking at right now is products that we can do in a similar way. So the short list comes down to a handful of suggestions in this segment, and those range from a color identifier, which probably there are several models, but the affordable ones appear to be not very accurate.
Right.
The accurate ones appear to be not very affordable.
Right.
So people have said to us that, you know, if you can make something that is both, you know, there would be a good market for it.
Even the expensive ones are not very accurate.
Is that right?
Yes.
What we sort of pride ourselves in doing is leveraging some mainstream technologies that, you know, we've had good experience in, and then adapting that to, you know, meet these specific needs. So, you know, we actually have some experience in color, imaging, and so on. That's one of the things we're considering. Then the suggestions include a barcode scanner that one could use in a grocery store, one that is affordable, you know, gives nutritional information, and things like that. We hear inputs very often about an affordable GPS. How many folks have an iPhone? 9 folks out of, I think, roughly 20. And how many have an iPod? So six and nine, I think.
Of the 60 members that we have, maybe 35 of them, 40, almost 40, have iSomething.
If you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, you have access to the Libtel reader application.
Right.
So of the folks that have one of these devices, how many use the Libtel? 9 of you use the Libtel.
Yeah, we all, I think.
And
there's also the new
I know. Yes.
Have people tried that? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've tried it. I used it 3 times and deleted it off my iPhone.
Having an iPhone, having, you know, but the Libtel application is great. Would you still buy something like an iPhone?
Yes. I would not have, had I had my iPhone when I bought the iBill. The iBill was wonderful until I got my iPhone, and that Libtel does the same thing.
As cell phones, especially the iPhone, becomes more popular, clearly it has a very strong impact on the need for separate devices.
There are a number of, I know of at least 4 different color apps, none of which work. They're terrible. I mean, they just don't work well. Something like a color identifier, affordably priced, might be something. Because, again, the iPhone has not, they've not been able to make anything that's really reliable.
Is it a user-friendliness issue or a reliability issue? It's just not accurate enough.
It's a reliability issue. Right. There's 3 or 4 different ones out, one of which, I forget the name of it, but one of which, it has like a gazillion colors, but they have odd names, so you don't know what, like, it may identify it correctly, but you don't know what the hell it is. And then, you know, and then there are others that don't give you enough information to distinguish one from another. You know, it'll say blue or red. Well, you know, they're different shades and so forth.
Right.
So, but what I'd really like is not only a color identifier, but a color identifier that if I pointed it at one thing and then I pointed it at another thing, could tell me whether it matches. I am congenitally blind. I've never seen. Colors mean nothing to me. Green, red, blue. I mean, I know technically You know what I mean? I know I can look them up in the dictionary and I know what it means, but they don't have any relevance for me. So really, I don't give a damn what color it is. I just really want to know whether it goes with the other thing I have in my hand in the closet. You were talking about barcode apps, for example. There are several, and some people have gotten those to work somewhat better than others. The difficulty is finding the barcode.
I have one of the ID Mate products. The best thing about the ID Mate, and they are expensive, granted, the key is that, number one, the database that they have access to, and number two, that they use an omnidirectional scanner.
Right. What would you feel would be the right price point, for instance, a barcode scanner that works, all the problems that you currently experience? Small, compact, omnidirectional, so it would make it easier to find the barcode, and it had some sort of a database that gave additional information, more than just the price.
If you even priced it, say, $200 or $300, it would be like the iBill. They'd go off the shelves like crazy.
Right, you know, that's a key thing. People are willing to pay a little bit more, but I think it's somewhere between $200 and $300, right?
Yeah, yes. That's what I was saying.
Okay, so you want something that is ideally as small as an iBill.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
But if it was a little better, bigger, I think the issue is that it needs to be portable enough to be reasonable for what you're going to have inside it, but not so unwieldy that you have to get a backpack that's three times bigger than what the average person would carry just to carry your device.
Yeah, similar to the size of the iPhone. Okay, yeah. Our philosophy as a company is to make products that are affordable so that more people can buy it. A lot of people have told us advice is going to be indecisive. Like, why are you pricing it at $99? The competition is at least $300. You can easily sell this for $200 or $149. We want to make buying it a no-brainer. Our hope is that we can sell more of these and sort of make our living that way. We talk about a color identifier. Assuming we could make one that does the job right, and maybe even does match it. What would it be better to match?
Maybe
a premium.
Maybe even $399. That's what going to work and that sort of thing with going on to some event. You want to make sure that what you're wearing is matches my hat.
You know, a lot of times you look at a piece of clothing, and I've had this happen before, that, you know, something spills on it, but you can't feel it. You know, you don't know if there's a, I've had this happen with ties. And so it'd be nice to run something over something and say, oh, there's a significant color, changing color.
So if we were to make a device like this, and, you know, assume that we were to get sort of half of the, oh, being able to get the key features, maybe some of the advanced ones take some more time. What do folks feel would be the right price point that a majority of the people who wanted one, who needed one, could afford?
I mean, if it really works, I think $200 to $300.
I think probably more like two, I think, to make it affordable. Your company is local to us.
Yeah, we do our development here, we're a Delaware corporation.
If there is a way that we can be helpful to you, if you are developing something, you want people to beta test, or you want to run ideas, you know, contact me. Oh, we'd be glad to help and participate and give you some feedback, either individually or in a group setting.
A machine that could conceivably combine some of these functions, because let's say you get a really good color identifier and a really good iBill and a really good this and that. Who wants to have four or five or six of these?
Yeah.
But in a way, the competition is like an iPhone that it sort of now can combine everything. Not perfectly, but, you know.
Does the iBill have a thing for a key, like a keychain?
In one of the corners is a hole through which you can thread either a string, a lanyard, or a keyring, yes. It needs to be kind of a small keyring.
Uh-huh.
Your hole is a little small, but that's what it's designed for.
That's the one concern I have about all these devices that come out. You end up carrying so many, and that's the thing with the iPhone. You only carry one device. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, getting accurate demographic data has been very challenging for us. That's one of the key factors as we figure out what products to develop, and we've got to estimate the market size.
You've got that 70% or right around 70% of the people you're marketing to are going to be over 60.
At least 70%.
And the newness of vision loss.
Oh. Well, and also with this next generation of kids coming up, a lot of people with multiple disabilities too.
We want to be able to do more products. And the only way we can do more products is if we have a decent sized market,
right.
So we can recoup our expense, be able to invest some back into the next generation product. So that's all of our going. We have so far stayed away from the sort of big ticket items like, you know, Braille note takers and the Braille.
Are you interested in more universal products where demographics isn't important,
but which would be useful to anyone? Now, for example, the GPS device.
That is ideally what we would like to do. I believe it is possible, but so far it seems that it is not easy to do. To make something that is universally easy to use and desirable, and yet fulfills all the needs of somebody who really needs accessibility.
Continuing on the GPS device, a voice-only GPS device for someone who drives and they don't have to look at the screen, I would certainly find that very useful. And I'm sure that a lot of other people would.
My experience with people who are sighted and with people who have even a minimal amount of vision is they want something they can look at.
Absolutely.
They want to be able to see it.
With people, you know, driving who have been using GPS on my iPhone, the instructions are take a right, not take a 60-degree turn.
Right.
People want to see how the roads intersect. I mean, not most roads are in a grid, and particularly when you get into rotaries and things like that, people, you know, say they need to see the visual interchange of the roads, and I can't imagine people wanting a voice-only GPS unless it was very, very specific.
So the best way to reach us is we have a toll-free phone number. It's 888-606-7248. By email, it is information@orbitresearch.com. That's the best way to reach us. And the website is www.orbitresearch.com.
Let's give an applause.